Good morning, and welcome to First Christian Church on this wonderful Sunday at the end of spring break. It's good to see such a wonderful crowd here today. Please silence your cell phones as we prepare for worship by listening to the lovely prelude that Diane has prepared for us. That was lovely. Again, it's wonderful to see everyone here this morning. Please sign in at the sheet located at the end of your pew. Pass it down so everyone else can sign in and send it back to the end when you're done. Okay, for the announcements. If you would like to donate small, individually wrapped candies for the Easter egg hunt for the little kids, please bring them to the church library in the next couple of weeks. There's a free community-wide hymn sing today at 4 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church, benefiting True Care Women's Center with a great organist from Kansas City. We only have two Lenten services left, this Wednesday at 6 with a soup supper, and then during the Holy Week on Monday, Thursday at 7:30. A reminder to parents, please try and come a little early next Sunday for your children to receive palms before worship. If you want to participate in the crop walk, you can get a donation envelope from Debbie Mestis or come Tuesday evening at 7:30 for an informational meeting on the crop walk. Are there any additional announcements? Okay. If not, please stand and greet those around you, and then join us in singing our opening hymn, Were You There? It's number 198 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship listed in the bulletin and on the overhead screen. Hanging on the cross, the thief cried out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
We too cry out to God, "Remember us, forgive us."
We come to worship, remembering Christ's sacrifice.
As we gather at the table, we are
remembered,
remade, reassembled as the body of Christ.
Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus, remember us that we may build your kingdom.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, today we recall your faithfulness. Thank you that you walk with us every day, that you are with us in each moment. Thank you that your promises are true and your goodness never fails us. In this moment, we come to you and we lay our lives before you. May we worship and adore you with every fiber of our being. May everything within us cry, "Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And so, today we join with all those who worship and confess you as Lord, from generations past and present, and with all the angels that sing in heaven of your greatness and beauty. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we love you. Lord, you are so precious to us. It's in your blessed name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. Our hymn of prayer today is number 569, "Jesus, Remember Me." This is a simple refrain that comes to us from the Tizé community in France. We'll have Diane play it all the way through one time so we hear the melody, and then we will sing together, "Jesus, Remember Me When You Come Into Your Kingdom," the words spoken by the thief to Jesus on the cross. The second time through, we'll sing, "Jesus, Remember Us." I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. Hi, Carson. How are you? There's Max and Colin. Good morning, Madison. Oh, your sister's coming too. Good morning. I like your light-up shoes. All the way around the sanctuary, there are posters that have pictures that tell the story of Jesus and his journey to the cross. And some of you have even helped color some of those posters. Do you remember which one you helped with?
Yep, I helped.
The very first one? Yeah. Well, I know we had some kids help with this one. See Mary's face? She looks like a rainbow. And I think she's a Broncos fan because she has orange and blue on her head.
Maybe.
Well, all of these posters help tell the story of the cross.
And they look like a Bible.
You're very observant, Colin.
Each
poster has like two pages of a book that's been opened, just like the Bible.
And it looks like a book.
It looks like a book. That's right. Well, I brought some crosses today to show you all. This one has all different colors on it. Isn't that fancy?
Wow.
It's sparkly.
Even gold. It has my favorite color.
What's your favorite color?
Blue and green.
Blue and green. It's got both of them on there. This one's all sparkly and pretty. Isn't that fancy? This one doesn't have as many colors on it. This one's just plain silver, and it's actually three crosses. And at the very first church where I served as a pastor in Arizona.
What about, there's only two?
Yeah, this one only has one cross, and this one has three together. At the church in Arizona, this hung in front of the sanctuary. It was made out of wood, and that was kind of the symbol of the church. It was real big, and it hung way up front.
And it has one, two, three, four.
If we count them all together, that's four. Uh-huh. If we count this one, there's one big one in the middle to remind us of the cross of Jesus. And then there's two small ones, one on each side, to remind us of the two other crosses that we hear about in today's story. There were two criminals that were hung on crosses on either side of Jesus. You all might have a cross at your home, or someone sometime might give you a cross. A cross is a symbol of God's love in Jesus.
I don't have a cross.
You don't?
Yeah, like those three crosses on those.
There's a
sides.
Bunch of crosses up there, huh? How about we have a prayer together? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for going to the cross for us. Thank you for reminding us of your love. Bless all of your children. In God's name, all God's children said, Amen. And you can head to Worship and Wonder or Sunday School with Mrs. Grooms. Some Sunday, we'll just have Max do children's time. It'll be fine. On the back of your bulletin, there's a list of prayer concerns. I want to personally thank so many in the congregation for your prayers for me. I've been struggling with influenza this week. For about 2 weeks, I thought I had a horrible cold. I was getting better. I was getting worse. I was coughing nonstop. I finally went to the doctor. And he told me that I had the classic symptoms of the 2017 flu. And even though I had gotten a flu shot, he informed me that the CDC says this year's flu shot kind of missed the mark. It was only about 40% effective. The flu virus mutated after the vaccine was made and got stronger. He said many people are not getting as sick as with some flus, but more people have gotten it. So just a word of advice, if you feel like you have a cold and you got better and then you got worse, go see your doctor. We're praying today for Lorna and Roger Cook. The prayer card shower is for the Cook family. Lorna is at the hospital. She has been in ICU. And I truly appreciate Paul Halleck and Dennis Baker visiting her on behalf of the congregation. Lorna's health looks very serious at this time. Her family has been called together. Sons have come up from Colorado. Everyone is together and supporting Roger. They've had tests done. They thought surgery would be needed and then decided she wasn't strong enough for it. So please continue to pray for Lorna. We know that she is in God's hands, however this unfolds. Tom May told me this morning that he'd been in the hospital last week with, of all things, pneumonia. So there's a lot of upper respiratory stuff going around. We pray for the Taylor's great-granddaughter in Cheyenne, who's also been struggling with respiratory issues. The doctors have ruled out RSV, but she certainly needs our prayers for healing. Ron Deggs, who is the director of Disciple Home Missions, called the church office Friday afternoon to thank you for your prayers and your support. A couple Sundays ago, our prayer sheet at the back was for Disciple Home Missions, and many of you signed it, and we sent it to the general office in Indianapolis. And Ron called to say thank you, both for your prayers and for the financial support this church gives far beyond our own walls. We continue to pray for Dave Baker in Seattle. His health is also in a very challenging state. Rick, has he had surgery yet? Have they made a decision? No surgery yet, but he's still continuing to struggle very much. We pray for Marie Robertson as she is at home. And our ministry prayer partners today are the members of Shepherd of the Hills Presbyterian Church here in town and their pastor, Lynn Williamson. You're encouraged to sign the sheet at the back to send greetings to them. Are there other concerns today that we want to name? Prayers for Cindy King, recovering from a heart attack.
I have a friend, her name is Angel Quino, I think is how you pronounce her last name, and she potentially has cancer. We're hoping that she doesn't. We don't know what kind it will be, but she's getting tested, so we hope it comes in handy.
Prayers for Angel Bueno going under cancer tests. Pam. It's a blessing to have you with us, and we hope you've enjoyed your visit. Mike.
Prayer of joy. My Aunt Maureen celebrated her 90th birthday on Friday. She was my dad's younger sister, and they used to live right next door for many years, and now her daughter lives.
Prayers of joy and blessing to Aunt Maureen celebrating 90 years. Steve.
I have two. Prayers and thanks for St. Travels for Sandy and Karen and for Caitlin and myself as we travel to Georgia and all of the state there and back. And prayers of understanding for Melinda as I sent her pictures yesterday in my backyard and she has no understanding of why we live.
Prayers of thanksgiving for the Heckfelts to and back from Georgia. And prayers of understanding for folks who don't understand the beauty of snow on April 1st. Pat. Prayers of joy for granddaughter Ashlyn getting married this morning. And I know that your heart is with her, Pat. Randy Sue.
Cynthia, can I just say that if anyone has prayers for the next week and a half, to call probably the church or Melanie. I'm going to be gone, and she will be covering the prayer concerns.
Prayers of safe travel as well for Randy Sue and her husband as they go to Costa Rica to see a beautiful country. And in the interim, while she's out of the country, please send prayer concerns to Melanie Dowler. Tom. We've prayed for John Joyner before when he had to have his toes amputated. We are glad he is back bowling and doing so well. That's a blessing. Terry.
First for Dave, he
Prayers for Dave and his mom as she moves from South Dakota to be close to family. Raul. Prayers of blessing for Raul's sister as she opens her first restaurant in Saratoga. What's the name of it? So if you're in Saratoga and you see a taco stand, be sure and stop. Let us turn now to God with all these words of joy and concern in our hearts. Holy and remarkable God, you are the source of all strength and wisdom, the giver of peace in the midst of life's chaos, the light of hope, the blesser of eternity. O gracious God, we lift to you our prayers for all those we have named today. We ask for prayers of healing, trusting in your wisdom for how that healing will come, physical or spiritual, earthly or eternal. We pray for Lorna Cook, for Dave Baker in Washington, for Marie Robertson, for the Taylor's great-granddaughter, in Cheyenne, for Cindy recovering from a heart attack, Angel facing tests. Oh God, for each one who needs your healing and strength, we pray for your presence to be abundant. We share joys with you as well, Lord. Joys that John Joyner is bowling again and doing well. That Ashlyn is getting married today, we pray your blessing upon her marriage, upon her future. We thank you for the ministry shared with Ron Deggs, for Dave and his mom traveling from South Dakota. And we pray for safe traveling to Hawaii, home from Georgia, to Costa Rica, and for Lonnie while she is in Malawi. Lord, thank you that Tom is recovering from his pneumonia. Be with Raul's sister as she begins a new venture in Saratoga, Wyoming. May her business go well. May she feed those who are hungry and find joy in using her skill. Lord, we thank you for the ministry shared in our community with so many other followers of Christ. This week, we pray your blessing upon the members of Shepherd of the Hills Presbyterian Church and their pastor, Lynn. Lord, I want to thank you for the prayers of this congregation while I struggled with my own health. I give thanks for the strength to lead worship this day. Strength that comes not from my body, but from you and your people gathered here. O Lord, for all who need healing and hope, we pray that you will draw near. Amaze us again with resurrecting power. Amen.
One of the things you sign up for when you marry a pastor is to, be the B team when the A team isn't at her peak. And so I am happy to give today's communion invitation. I want to thank all of you as well for the prayers for Cindy's healing for this week. She is feeling better, but the cough can come at any moment. This week we have been struggling with who has more stamina to do things. I mentioned last week that I have arthritis in my shoulders, and I've had a couple, therapy sessions. For those of you who have ever had physical therapy, you know what I'm talking about. It's not fun, you know. And you get finished and you're like, I thought I felt bad, but I think I feel worse now after the session. You hope that the long-term effects are actually better. But this week at home, it's been, who has the stamina to put in a load of laundry? Who wants to go upstairs to feed the pets? Who wants to take care of a meal? And for the most part, the answer has been neither one of us. But we have to eat. And so I come to you speaking of the restorative powers of soup. Whether it's just because we think that something warm going down our throats and into our stomachs helps, or if there really is some curative power, we have gone through a lot of soup. And talk about a simple supper that does so much for you. I have to almost feel like I have to give a side thanks to Chopsticks for their war wonton soup, which we have availed ourselves of a couple times this week when we weren't wanting to fix things ourselves. We have the opportunity every week to share in a simple meal that means so much. We can take the bread and juice and just take it. Or we can understand that this is God's body and blood that he shed for us so that we could live and live without sin. What we choose to do with that, of course, is on our own. And that's what free will is about. But Jesus gave us that gift. And especially in this season, it's easy to remember that. And so I ask you today, as you partake of communion, to remember that sacrifice. And may this simple meal transform into something absolutely life-changing for you. Our hymn of communion today is number 391. We will sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. And we have heard in our own church family today of those who can use them. The meal at that table was a miracle as well. Even though the disciples didn't understand it, this was going to be the last time that they were all together. And Jesus tried to explain. Whether they got it or not is something else. But he transformed that wine and that blood to be his own body and blood. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Please join me in prayer. Lord, you provide us weekly with a simple meal, but one that transforms into something so much greater. We ask that today, as we take the cup and we take the bread, that we too are transformed, so that through the rest of this holy season and our lives, we regale you. We talk about you to everyone we meet, every place we go, so that your words, your deeds, and your life can be shared with all. Amen.
The Lord our God gives us so many wonderful things that makes life worth living. He gives us the gift of family and of friends, and the gifts of love and laughter. He gives us opportunities and life experiences. He loves us as his children. As his humble servants, we should show gratitude and give something back to the Father. With these gifts, his word can be shared with others, and our community can grow. Give what you can, and let's support God's church with our generosity. The diaconate will now collect our tithes and offerings. Please join me in prayer. With these tithes and offerings, O God, we dedicate ourselves to being the witness of Jesus Christ in our world. We recommit our lives and our resources to discovering the presence of Jesus all around us and to work with his resurrected spirit to bring healing and new life to those in need. Amen.
Thank you. Our first reading comes from the book of Luke, and I'll be reading about the crucifixion. Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." That ends the reading.
The story of the crucifixion in Luke 23 continues. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." We hear more of the story from John's account in John chapter 19, beginning at verse 19 and going through 27. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'this man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. because I'm uncertain how strong my voice is and whether I will cough in the middle of the sermon today, I have asked Charles to share with me in reading for you this morning reflections on the seven last words. During the season of Lent, we have been learning about the stations of the cross and traveling together through the stories of Scripture, hearing the journey Jesus took towards his death. The station that we are at today reminds us of Jesus speaking from the cross, the promise he gave to the criminal crucified next to him, and the words of kindness spoken to his mother. Oftentimes at Good Friday services, the seven last words of Christ are observed. If you're not familiar with the Christian tradition, you might think the seven last words is seven actual words, not very much to say. It actually refers to seven statements that Jesus made over the course of hours as he was hanging on the cross. To speak while one is in the throes of death takes great determination, especially if you're hanging on a cross. It is physically difficult to breathe in that position. And so it is clear that Jesus focused carefully what he would say before speaking with a gasping breath. John Wesley makes this observation about Christ. Our Lord passed most of the time on the cross in silence, yet seven sentences which he spoke thereon are recorded by the four evangelists, though no one evangelist has recorded them all. Hence, it appears that the four gospels are, as it were, four parts which joined together make one symphony, sometimes one part only, sometimes two or three, sometimes all sound together. Let us listen this morning to the symphony of Jesus' seven last words.
The first word from Luke 23:34 is, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." After being nailed to the cross, the first time Jesus speaks is to offer forgiveness. How astounding. Is there something you need to forgive? Is there someone who has hurt you so deeply you'll never forget the pain you felt? Can you speak the words that Jesus spoke when he prayed? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The timing of these words, this prayer, certainly seems to indicate that Jesus was referring to those specific individuals who, in that very moment, were causing his suffering. He offered forgiveness for the soldiers who mocked, scourged, tortured, and nailed him to the cross. Were they just following orders, or did the cruelty that they were meting out take on more evil? Jesus offered forgiveness for the religious and civil authorities who sentenced him to death. In these words, he forgives the crowd, the bystanders, and even his own disciples who'd abandoned him. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Perhaps this prayer is also offered on behalf of all humanity. For the countless times we betray Christ, when our sins nail him to the cross again and again. Even though his enemies did not recognize him as the Messiah, Christ displays God's limitless compassion as he faces his own death. Where in your life do you need compassion? What in your heart needs to be forgiven?
What in your heart needs to be forgiven? The second word is also from Luke 23. In verse 43, Jesus says, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Like his first statement from the cross, the second time Jesus speaks, he again offers forgiveness. He is hung between two criminals. One joins in deriding him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The second criminal rebukes the mocker and proclaims Jesus' innocence, saying to the Lord, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." His plea is rewarded. Jesus takes a deep breath, looks across from his cross to the repentant thief hanging next to him, and says, "Don't worry, I will remember. Today you will join me in paradise." The sinner recognized Christ for who he was. Thankfully, God is always reaching out to us, offering salvation, even to those who cry out at the last minute. God generously opens the door to heaven for those who ask, granting eternal life not because we've earned it, but because of his ever-abundant love. Even when we have lived in sin, if we repent and join the crucified criminal in begging, "Jesus, remember me," God's mercy comes. On the very day he died, Jesus promised to remember the stranger crucified next to him. On your deathbed, who will you remember?
On your deathbed, who will you remember? The third word is found in John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore had seen his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." After that, he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." In spite of great physical pain, Jesus is overcome with compassion for those around him. His third statement from the cross intends to make sure that his mother is cared for after his death. Scholars speculate that Mary was widowed by the time of the crucifixion. Jesus, God's son, has also been Mary's son throughout his life on earth, and he wants to return her love. He looks to the beloved disciple John to care for her, not just to occasionally be nice to his dead friend's mom, but in a very real sense to adopt her as part of his own family. He said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that moment on, the disciple accepted her as his own mother. Throughout his ministry, Jesus worked to build a community among his followers, teaching them to care for each other. Now, at his death, he wants to be sure the love they shared will continue in a tangible way. Part of the calling of the church is to become family for each other, to stand with one another, to support each other in times of need, to love each other. Who has God placed in your life that you will truly love, even at the hour of your death?
Who has God placed in your life that you will truly love, even at the hour of your death? From here on, the words of Jesus are difficult to hear, marking the agony he experienced in the hours before his death. The fourth statement of Jesus from the cross is recorded in both Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34. About the ninth hour, that is around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," meaning, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" These four words were uttered shortly before Christ's death. This is the only passage where the original Aramaic language is preserved. Here, Jesus was expressing his feelings of abandonment. God placed the sins of the entire world on him, which overwhelms the humanity of Jesus. His other 11 disciples, once at his side, are nowhere to be found. Jesus fully lived the human experience, and it was by his death that we are redeemed. As Jesus hung on the cross, he must have felt utterly forsaken and alone. Yet surely God was present with his beloved Son. Have you ever felt abandoned by God?
Have you ever felt abandoned by God? John 19:28 records the fifth word, I thirst. Earlier in the gospel, a drink of wine and myrrh was prepared for Jesus. It was customary in those days to give an anesthetic drink for those about to be crucified. To appease the soldiers, Jesus took a sip, but not enough to deaden the pain. In this passage, he prompted the guards for his final drink, this one consisting of vinegar and water. Among his seven last words, this is the only verbal expression of his physical pain. Even though he was scourged, crowned with thorns, walked the way of the cross, and was nailed to the cross to die, Jesus' thirst on the cross was both physical and something more. It was a thirst for souls for whom love compelled him to offer eternal redemption through his sacrifice. Do you know what it is like to thirst for God?
Do you know what it is like to thirst for God? Continuing in John chapter 19 to verse 30, we hear Jesus speak a sixth time, saying simply, it is finished. Amazingly, Jesus is still conscious after hours of being on the cross. This expression in Latin, consummatum est. In English, it is consummated. It is completed. It is finished. This expression did not simply mean that death was upon him, but rather that he fulfilled his mission. And because he was God, willingly laid down his own life. His preaching, miracles, and finally his earthly suffering would soon be over. His ministry and resulting death would pay the debt of sin for all humanity. The hour of Christ's death was at hand, and the work of God's salvation would be complete. What do you have yet to do that your life may be complete? If the hour of your death were to draw near in the coming year, what still lacks consummation for your soul, your life's work, and worth to be fulfilled?
What do you have yet to do that your life may be complete? If the hour of your death were to draw near in the coming year, what still lacks consummation for your soul, for your life's work and worth to be fulfilled? Finally, we return to Luke 23, verse 46, to hear the seventh and last word of Christ on the cross. Into thine hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. These are the very last words Jesus spoke on the cross before taking his final breath. Jesus is willingly giving up his soul to his Father in heaven. Jesus had been perfectly obedient to his Father's will. It is here that the Lamb of God has been slain for our sins. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Pope Francis writes, "To many, the Passion of Jesus Christ is a lesson in history where we sympathize with Christ for the sufferings he went through before he died. We find it hard to believe how the people can be so cruel as to inflict the most severe form of pain on a man who we know was innocent. For Christians, the Passion should be more than a lesson in history. It should become a lesson in life, teaching us how to stand up for truth and justice. We pray that this day, Jesus' last words will indeed shape how we live as his followers. Amen."
As Christians, our lives are shaped by Christ, by our willingness to follow not just his words on the cross, but his teaching throughout his earthly life. As Christians, our lives are shaped by our living relationship with Jesus. Part of our response to hearing Jesus' last words is revealed in how we live. Our hymn of dedication today is "Take My Life." It's found in your hymnal on page 609. And this morning, we'll actually sing all of the verses of "Take My Life." If there's anyone here this morning who's moved to give your heart to Christ, or if you're looking for a church home, we would invite you to come forward as we stand and sing. Downstairs in Fellowship Hall, there's coffee and refreshments waiting, and I hope that all of you, especially our visitors, will stay for a few moments, be physically refreshed and spiritually refresh yourselves as you visit with one another. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we are in awe of you. At the hour of your death, you spoke of compassion and forgiveness. of care for those who are closest to you, of your own suffering, and of God's great plan. May our lives reflect your words, your living presence. Bless now your people as we go forth to love, to live, to serve in your precious name, O Christ. Amen.